Emmeline stirred, wondered distantly at the delay. The governess was shaping up into a real challenge. But she wouldn't catch us that way. We would go out. You could always get into one of the cottages for a snack. The handle of the kitchen door turned, then stopped. No amount of tugging and jiggling could free it. It was padlocked. The broken window in the drawing room had been boarded up, and the shutters secured in the dining room. There was only one other chance. To the hall and the great double doors we went. Emmeline, bewildered, padded along behind. She was hungry. Why all this fuss with doors and windows? How long before she could fill her tummy with food? A shaft of moonlight, tinted blue by the coloured glass in the hall windows, was enough to highlight the huge bolts, heavy and out of reach, that had been oiled and slid into place at the top of the double doors. We were imprisoned. Emmeline spoke. "Yum, yum," she said. She was hungry, and when Emmeline was hungry, Emmeline had to be fed. A look of bewilderment came into her eyes, and she opened her mouth and wailed. The sound of her cry carried up the stone staircase, turned into the corridor to the left, rose up another flight of stairs, and slipped under the door of the new governess's bedroom. Soon another noise was added to it, not the blind shuffle of the missus, but the smart metronomic step of Hester Barrow's feet. A brisk, unhurried click, 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 down a set of stairs, along a corridor, to the gallery. I took refuge in the folds of the long curtains just before she emerged onto the galleried landing. It was midnight. At the top of the stairs she stood, a compact little figure, neither fat nor thin, set on a sturdy pair of legs, the whole topped by that calm and determined countenance. In her firmly belted blue dressing gown and with her hair neatly brushed, she looked for all the world as though she slept sitting up and ready for morning. Emmeline, at the foot of the stairs, had been sobbing with hunger a moment ago, yet the instant Hester appeared in all her glory, she stopped crying and stared, apparently placated, as though it were a cake stand piled high with cake that had appeared before her. "How nice to see you," said Hester, coming down the stairs. "Now, who are you? Adeline or Emmeline?" Emmeline, open-mouthed, was silent. "No matter," the governess said. "Would you like some supper? And where is your sister? Would she like some too?" "Yum," said Emmeline. And I didn't know if it was the word supper or Hester herself who had provoked it. Hester looked around, seeking the other twin. The curtain appeared to her as just a curtain, for after a cursory glance, she turned all her attention to Emmeline. "Come with me," she smiled. She drew a key out of her blue pocket. It was a clean blue silver, buffed to a high shine, and it glinted tantalizingly in the blue light. It did the trick. "Shiny," Emmeline pronounced. And without knowing what it was or the magic it could work, she followed the key, and Hester with it, back through the cold corridors to the kitchen. In the folds of the curtain, my hunger pangs gave way to anger. That was the first night, and it was Hester's victory.